We are in the Gospel of John, but we're going to jump ahead quite a few chapters to 15. And I will read starting verse 12 through 17. Let's hear the inspired word of the living God. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. May we pray. Father, I pray now that your Holy Spirit that gave us these words would etch them deeply in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. A little a bit later in the year, every year, we celebrate Veterans Day. And that is for those who have served their country. And we pay honor to them and we ask them to stand. And since I've been here, we also give them a little memento for their service, something to wear on their lapel as a thank you. But there is another holiday. It's the one we celebrate, the one we observe today. And that is to honor people who can't stand. And the reason they can't stand is because they didn't come back. Because they went out and they gave up the one life that they had. They didn't make it back. Now, this church has a history of the people we send out generally do make it back. And in World War II, I think everybody this church sent out came back. And that's very rare. But today, we are honoring those who didn't. And we have a special day. The history of this holiday wasn't initially well received where we are. The national observance of Memorial Day dates back to 1868, when General John A. Logan, Commander-in-Chief of the Grand Army of the Republic, also known as the GAR, it was Union veterans of the Civil War. General Logan's order was that the day designated for the purpose of strewing with flour or otherwise decorating the graves of comrades who died in defense of their country during the late rebellion. Hence, it's also called Decoration Day. But later on, it got extended, and they realized that the Union weren't the only people that lost people in that. In fact, if you look at that war, we lost more people in the Civil War, almost 1 million people, than all of the wars since then, if you add them all up. That was a watershed event. And so the observance of Memorial Day was extended in remembrance of all those who died on both sides of the war between the states. Since that time, those who have sacrificed their life in the service of our nation in any war have been added. And since 9/11, there have been mention of those who have died in the line of duty and emergency services, such as fire, police, rescue, and medical personnel. How much does freedom cost? It's very expensive. The price of freedom is eternal vigilance. You can never take your eye off of it. When you think you have it, that's when you need to look out, because there's always something waiting to try and take it away from you. And our freedom throughout history has always cost blood. It has always been very precious. The price of freedom is eternal vigilance. Freedom is costly to get, and it's costly to keep, because it's always, there are always those who want to take it away. And there is value, as we look at Memorial Day, there is value in remembering. Memorial comes from the word to remember. And there is value in looking back and remembering what we got and how we got here, and paying a special memory and honor to those who have gone before. The first reason why memorial is valuable is we are remembering God's faithfulness, that He has pulled us through. When we look back, it's not just memory of those who are gone, but remembering of all the things that God has done in our behalf. It's an inventory of God's faithfulness. So when we see ourselves in a current struggle, we can look back and we say, well, God was faithful here, and He was faithful here, and He was faithful here. I have no reason to think that He's going to be anything other than faithful now. If so, it would be the first time He has not been faithful. So remembering God's faithfulness is one of the reasons that He has us to remember. And the second reason is to remember the pain. Remember what it cost. In this country, the Civil War was a painful experience. We have never gone through anything like that before. And because of the pain, hopefully we will never go through it again. There are modern commentators and pundits that will say such and such will lead to a civil war. I doubt it, because the first one was so painful. Nobody will want to go through that again. So we need to remember our pain. War is pain. It's painful. It's painful when we have conflicts. And that is why we want to remember it. We remember our tough experiences as well as our good ones. When God even commands us to remember, if we look at all the different experiences through Scripture, when He delivered Israel from Egypt, He had them set up an annual day to remember their deliverance, and He called it Passover. And He said, this is something you will do perpetually, that you will remember that God with an outstretched hand delivered you, and it was at a cost. It was at a cost of the blood of the firstborn of the families in Egypt. And then when Joshua was getting ready to cross the River Jordan, when the waters parted and the bed dried up in the center, he commanded each one of the leaders of the 12 tribes to go out and get a stone and take it to the far side and build a pile of stones, so that when future generations were tempted to think God isn't faithful, when they look across the river that's flowing just like it always had, they could be pointed to this pile of stones, and here is where God did something different. It's a remembering. It's a time when we can look back and see how He was faithful. King David even wrote two psalms, Psalm 38 and Psalm 70, that start the very first verse. He is remembering God's faithfulness. Each of those psalms was written to remember something God had done, how God had been faithful in spite of David's behavior and the nation's behavior. God was faithful. We're even commanded in Scripture to remember Lot's wife. Remember the bad examples as well, the ones who weren't faithful, lest we are tempted to stray. We can look back and see what happens to those who do. And he also, in the last book of the Bible, he is addressing the church in Laodicea. He says, I have this against you. You have left your first love. Remember. Remember. Remember the things you did at first and repent, lest I come and take your lampstand. That we need to remember back. And for each one of us, remember what it was like as a new believer. Remember the joy you had in your life as the burden was lifted off your soul. Remember back at what you did and you considered it was just light duty. That's why God has us remember. Remember our life before. Remember. From whence do we get our rights? We're told those who the founding fathers in our country said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they're endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That we don't get our rights from the government, but we get our rights from God. We are endowed by Him, and that is the source of all of our rights. If we forget that, we will be easy marks for any tyrannical regime. The Scottish ancestors, we think of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence in 1776. Each one of them had more to lose than to gain in a revolution. Most of them were already men of standing in their communities, highly educated, and owners of substantial property. John Hancock was the richest man in America. He became a wanted man with a price on his head. They did not choose to revolt. They merely wanted to be treated the same as other Englishmen were in England. And they all knew that the penalty for treason was death by hanging. Each signer became a marked man, pursued relentlessly by the British retribution. None who had property or family were spared. Most lived to see their families killed or separated forever and their property sacked. 9 signers died of wounds or hardship during the war. Many died of poverty, the fathers of our country. The pledge, our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor was no idle boast. The cost of freedom is incalculable. Because throughout our history, another principle seems too often to prevail, the principle of selfishness that seeks often at great cost also to control the mind and property of others. And we also, as Christians, we have a heritage. The early apostles, all but one, died a martyr's death. They paid for their faithfulness with their own blood. The only one is John the Apostle, who died of old age. Everybody else paid with their blood for their testimony and for their witness. The principle of freedom must be our first commitment, for without it, no one is immune against the impulse to grab power, wealth, position, or reputation at the expense of others. Look at what we have experienced over the last year. Just look. I have seen what I thought could never take place in our nation, and we just walked it slowly down the road. Things that we willingly accepted things that I never thought we would. We lose our freedom little by little. We lose in the last year. We've had encroachment on our ability to meet together publicly, our ability to meet as a church. There have been churches that have litigated for the right to meet. This is America. There are those who wanted to control whether we could eat in groups or whether we could eat outside. And we all look and we say, well, it's just a little thing for right now and it's only temporary. But then temporary, you all remember 14 days to flatten the curve. That was a year ago, and we saw what happened after that. And people slowly, slowly, slowly gave up one right after another right after another right until finally we wake up one day and we look around and we don't have the freedoms that we thought we have. Look at, we lose our freedom little by little. Listen, the founders of this country knew how precious those freedoms were because in the First Amendment to the Constitution, listen what they said. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or of the right of people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. That was their first article, the First Amendment to the Constitution, and we have seen every single one of those violated this last year. Every single one. We notice this often gets stood on its head and says what the church ought to do. It's often used to tell the church that we're supposed to be quiet because, you know, the separation of church and state. It never mentions the separation of church and state. It says Congress shall make no law. It's strictly directed at Congress on what they cannot do. It's not directed at us as to what we can or cannot do. We need to remember that. We have been at crucial times in our country where it could have gone the other way. And God's providence was over us. We were almost never got established. Washington at the Delaware on Christmas Eve, it was close. And he did something daring, and the battle went the other way. And we were a nation. And then various battles. D-Day almost never happened because of bad weather. And God arranged the weather to be just right when that happened. And it could have been different. I could be preaching in German right now, if at all. Things like that happen. We as a nation are only one generation away from slavery. It's been said the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. And we are also only, as a church, one generation away from extinction. All that's necessary is for all the believers to keep their mouth shut. And slowly it goes away. We have just gone through an exercise where we've lost our freedom for a season. I pray that it might not stay that way. The cost of freedom is not just paid for by those who lose their life. There are scars that others carry back. Those who have been How do you tell when somebody is a fraud when they're talking about their military career? Usually it's because they're talking about all the different things they did. It's been my experience that the people that really did it don't ever want to talk about it. It's too painful. It gets too close to things they've seen and experienced that they carry with them for the rest of their life. I had a friend that just this last week went up to see about his sister. She's my age, and she was down to 70 pounds. She wasn't eating and had 24 cats and had given up on life. And he was going, getting her situated, and he found his father's a box of his medals and stuff from World War II. He had distinguished medals. He had Purple Hearts. He had awards that he never knew about because his father never talked about it. I know many other people, the people who have really been out doing it, almost never talk. It's painful. And so it's not just the people that were left on the battlefield that carry scars. Memorial Day honors fallen, and we also honor those who are carrying around scars. Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." He calls us friends, but at the time he laid down his life, we weren't his friends. We were his enemies. We hated God. We hated everything God stand for. We were self-centered. He had to get past that as well. He had to make us friends. But when he was on the cross, we definitely weren't that. There is one person who came with the express purpose of giving up their life. Most people that are out on the battlefield that don't come back, when they woke up that day, they didn't plan on giving up their life. It just, as they were faithful in what they were doing, it happened. But Jesus came here from all eternity with the express purpose of giving up his. And he is the one who made the cross famous. It's why we look to it. He says in John 12, "But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." In John 10, he says, "Because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again." And in John 8, he says, "So if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed." There are many who died that we have physical freedom, but he died that we are truly spiritually free. And as we are considering one, we need to not ever forget the one, the main one who died that we would be free forever. May we never forget his cross. And we saw the crosses in Arlington, but his cross is empty because he defeated it. He rose again from the dead. This Memorial Day, as we honor those who have gone before us, let us remember to give honor to him who laid down his life. May we pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for those who have gone and been faithful. I pray that we would be faithful. And we thank you that you were faithful. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.